Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Yeah.
That was the cranberry sauce.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I had 2 days of sandwiches with cranberry sauce on the turkey sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good. That's a good call.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, that's a good call.
You don't put the jelly on, the cranberry
gel. No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't put the canned stuff on.
What I'm saying?
That's a good point. Yeah, I made 4 sacks of it, so I got some extra. I'm going to have to mainline that stuff when I get home.
Good times. Anything else happen?
No candied yams this year, which...
We have the best yams.
My stepmom's like, she's all right, but she's just... it's always like, if there's, there's about 6 or 7 major items for Thanksgiving, there's always one missing.
I just want to stop
one missing.
This is the same woman that had you living in a garage and crapping in a popcorn tin. Need I say more?
Well, okay. She didn't force me to cramp in the popcorn tin.
Had you doing that. It was responsible in some way for that, okay?
Yeah.
So, all right. We're now leaving out a couple of items on the Thanksgiving buffet.
Doesn't surprise. She's a good woman. No, my pussy dad deserves the blame for the locked out of the house.
I remember you saying, him not standing up to her, insisting you get out of the house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. It was more like...
Translation, she's listening right now. Okay,
my stepmom...
Got it. She's listening.
Drew, stop trying to be entertaining. It never works. What do you mean she's listening?
Yeah. You've never defended her, ever.
I started the goddamn show by saying she was missing the sweet potatoes and that she's always missing one eye.
All right.
Do you really think she's listening?
No, I just...
Well, then shut up. Please, with your entertainment. How many times have I warned you about that? Translation, she's listening. How dare you?
Just be nice.
All right. Well, you don't really think that. You're just screwing around, right?
I'm screwing around. However, usually you pile on when she comes up.
Well,
you do. That's all.
No, my stepmother was... I don't want to get into this. I said my dad was a pussy.
All right.
What do you want? I'm not defending her. It's just, she was like Hitler and my dad was like the French.
Mm-hmm.
Who's worse, I mean, mm-hmm. Hitler's worse, but the other one just sort of bent over and took it,
All right. A different kind of worse.
Yeah. Josh? Josh?
Yeah.
You're 17.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I just met a girl last Saturday, and Monday we became boyfriend, girlfriend, that stuff. Then
Hold on a second. You met her when?
Last Saturday.
You met her.
Turn your radio down, Josh.
What's up?
All right.
Oh my God.
Hey. Tara and Brian, we can't have incoherent people. Like, the radio's going and he's having trouble tracking. Matt?
Yeah?
Hold on. Oh. Let's take, give me some chick. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We gotta have chicks. I don't want goofball teenage guys. Okay? Okay.
Yes?
You're 30.
Hi!
What's up?
Nothing. Hi, Adam. Hi, Drew.
Hey.
I love you guys.
Hey.
You're so great. I just listen to you guys all the time.
Thanks.
Adam, you crack me up.
Thanks. What's up?
You're hilarious. And Drew, you're fabulous.
Thank you, Kat. What's up?
I've just had a lot of anxiety lately.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
I've just kind of figured it out lately that I've had this anxiety and... It's kind of been, since my son, he's 3.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've just noticed it. It's kind of been growing since I've had him. And a lot of people, I used to have a lot of friends before I had my son.
Right.
And they all kind of, just kind of took off after I had him.
That can be kind of unpleasant, right?
Yeah, it's been terrible.
All right, you're depressed?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you're depressed. Anxiety is a symptom of depression very often.
Yeah.
Why did they take
me,
off?
It just made me really sad that, I mean, I was like calling her. I felt like a stalker or something.
Calling your friends?
Yeah, my friends.
She sort of, you know, she became a mom, and they're still out doing their thing.
Yeah, and they're all partying. They're having a good time. They don't have
now,
kids.
Now, here's the other thing that sets young people up for anxiety very commonly is speed and ecstasy, stimulants, that sort of thing. Do you ever do any ecstasy?
No, God, no.
Do you smoke pot?
I mean, gosh, no.
Do you smoke pot regularly?
Yeah.
Regularly?
I did, yeah.
So when did that stop?
After I had my son.
All right, so that can be, people very often feel funny when they stop smoking pot after a long period of time, often very depressed, a lot of anxiety from that.
Where's your husband?
Oh, he's fabulous.
He's gay?
Great.
Gay?
Oh, love him. Oh, gosh.
Absolutely fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he is great. He's very understanding, real nice, loves me.
Okay. What's he do?
He's actually a...
policeman.
In construction. Adam, come on.
Ooh.
No, really, but good job.
All right. Are you a little nutty?
No.
You sound a little nutty.
Well, we're going down the addiction path with her.
Yeah, I sound a little nutty, but geez, I don't have any friends.
Well, hang on. We got depression. We got depression. We got accumulative losses. We got a pregnancy. It might have screwed up her biology. She stopped smoking
really
pot.
Sad,
that makes people depressed. Now I'll bet, I'm just guessing,
you
toss in a little alcohol, and that gives you...
Yeah, see, that's the thing is I feel really anxious.
And so you drink.
Yeah.
And that will increase the anxiety dramatically.
Yeah, totally.
Okay,
and
I want to know.
All right.
She wants to know something.
I know, but she's talking the entire time you're talking, is she not?
Mm-hmm. She's anxious.
I thought she was depressed.
No, thanks. It's agitated depression.
All right, Kay, please, settle down.
Okay, sorry.
Now, you don't get to ask a second question, so Drew, tell her what to do.
Really, the bigger picture here is alcoholism and addiction.
Right, right.
And that needs to be dealt with. Your anxiety is not going anywhere. If you start going to doctors to get them to treat the anxiety, it'll put a little Band-Aid on it, but you'll end up on medication that will probably make the anxiety worse. You might get your mood stabilized a little bit, but ultimately this process will continue to progress because addiction is progressive even when you treat the depressions.
All right.
There you go.
Well,
so you got to talk to somebody about getting to AA and getting off all this stuff.
Matt?
Yeah?
You're 14.
Yeah, I want to know your point of view on atheism.
What do you mean my point of view?
Because, my parents are, kind of non-religious.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know, I'm kind of confused, what I want to be.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about being an atheist is you just can be nothing. It's fine.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, what is theist says? God, it's means without a God. It's just you don't believe in anything.
At 14, you don't have to declare anything, though, right?
Yeah. You're fine.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
All right. Yeah. Feel free. Embrace Satan. Now let me just say this real quick. First off, a lot of people think, well, you're not really an atheist. You're agnostic. Agnostic sort of means you know there's something out there ruling your life or ruling over the universe. You're just not sure what it is. You don't think it's Allah or Buddha or Christ. But for me... No, because if I was going to take it to the point where I thought there was some power out there, I'd just assign the guy a beard and some sandals and call him Jesus, and I'd just be in with the rest of you dingbats. I don't believe in anything just because I have no proof. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but it falls under the heading of everything else that hasn't been proven to me. I'd like to see some proof, and if I don't see any proof, being someone who wasn't indoctrinated into any religion... And I won't believe it, I won't believe anything.
You know, it's interesting. I've been reading Homer, The Odyssey, recently. Not Homer Simpson, that was the guy who wrote during the Greek times. And it's interesting how they responded to gods. Everything was ascribed to gods and omens. I mean, everything. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Does it go in the butt?
I think people are naturally that way. I think the more primitive you are, the more open you are to those sorts of thoughts. Yes. All right. Jared.
Yeah.
Oh, but let me say this real fast. It doesn't mean you hate God if you're an atheist. And
you hate religious people, does it?
No. Except for when they start getting involved with certain things like trying to knock down the morning after pill and stuff like that you think is screwing things up.
Mm-hmm.
if they were sort of more passive about it, if they just went to some mountain and waited for the Messiah to return, I wouldn't have a problem with them. It's when they're trying to pick at Walmart so they won't carry the morning after pill, then it starts becoming my business.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? Because
yes,
now
yes.
I'm affected
yes.
by their retarded rituals. Jared?
Yeah.
You're 14. What's up?
Yeah, today, like about 12 hours ago, I did coke, but it was like maybe about the size. It's like the first drug I've ever done before, and it was my first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was maybe about the size of a flea or like a soap flake or something like that. And it was really, really, really small.
That's enough to kill you. You did a flea worth of blow?
A flake, mind you.
All I did was put it on my tongue.
Nah, that's the worst thing you can do.
For real?
I remember once I did, when I was in high school, I did half an ant worth of blow. I froze. I gave myself half an ant freeze. True? Yeah. Blew
hospital.
My mind.
Had to be a hospital.
Just got out 6 months ago.
Okay. So
that
Jared,
was junior year in high school.
Where'd you get your hands on this?
My friends just offered it to me.
And you would?
Well, they kind of like put peer pressure on me. And they said, and I was like, oh, well, isn't
it? Come on, dude.
Like,
do this spec of
said,
coke.
Oh, I said, isn't that the same as cocaine? But I think I just said crack or something. And they're like, no, it's different. And they're like, it'll just give you a little bit of energy. And then they're like, oh, we'll just give you a tiny, tiny bit just so you can taste it. And
uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, it probably can't hurt because it was just so tiny.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I put it on my tongue today. And I was just wondering, like, if there's any, if I'm not going to do it anymore.
All right. What did it feel like? What did it feel like?
Oh, my tongue was numb for a while.
There you go.
All right,
like,
buddy.
For maybe about 10 minutes. But now I'm wondering, is that going to mess me up now because I did that?
No.
You're fine, buddy.
Okay.
Really?
You know, pansy.
People do tons of blow and they're fine.
Well,
think of all those athletes.
People do
you
tons
know
of
I mean?
Blow, they're not fine. But it doesn't sound like Jared is addictively prone and he was
he'll
not exposed right. to even.
Plus, it was probably like baking soda or something.
Oh, okay.
All right, Jared, you're cool.
Okay.
Just, you know, don't hang around with those peer pressure-y guys anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a bad kind of friend to have.
See, coke was always so expensive when I was growing up, and everyone was so tight with the money that there was never any of that, come on, man, do some coke.
Yeah.
More like, hey, mother effer, I'm going to beat your ass if you get near my coke.
Yeah.
It was more of that. Plus, I didn't hang around with anyone. You had to talk into drugs. So the whole peer pressure, come on, do something, never really existed.
Because everybody was consuming anything that was around, you mean?
Yeah, everyone
was. Care what you were doing?
Everyone was consuming whatever was around, and there's no way one of my friends would have forked out $100, $120 at the time for a gram, which was 4 days worth of work for these guys, and then try to feed you a line.
Hmm.
Are you kidding me? That's socking the stomach if you got near the bathroom. They'd, like, put a guard outside the bathroom, lock the door.
So a gnat's worth, it'd kick your butt.
Yeah, but a flea's worth. Sandra?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question. Okay, everyone thinks that I'm weird that I've talked to. And I just met this guy at a club, and he's 40. And I'm, like, totally into this guy, but, like, everyone's telling me that there's something completely wrong with him being 40 and being attracted to me.
Well, no, it's naturally he's attractive. It's something's wrong with him that he would sort of go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a 40-year-old guy should be at sort of a different phase in his life. It should feel sort of uncomfortable to him.
Unless he was
a 21-year-old.
Was he married for a while?
No, he's never been married.
Okay.
Hmm.
Speaks a little bit about his overall condition.
He's got a little arrested thing going. But, all right. What was he doing at the club? Well, he's trying to get laid.
Yeah. Because it's not with you, it's with him.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe. What's he do?
I don't even know.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know, there's also the certain, there's a certain amount of guys who never really fully make it into adulthood.
That's what I'm saying. I'm worried about him.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily make them dangerous or bad. It's almost like, you know, we talk about the yummy phase guys.
Think about those guys.
Well, what do you mean? Half the guys you know are that.
Yeah, but you've talked about how these things don't exist in isolation. It's part of a bigger sort of personality construct issue.
No, I mean, uh-huh. I mean,
uh-huh.
not, there's a handful of guys I know who are in their late 30s, early 40s, who sort of live like they're 19. And they're not dangerous guys.
No, but let me
don't know if I'd want to marry them.
Right.
But if I was 21 and not looking to get start a family for another 5 years and the guy seemed like a decent enough guy, yeah, you could go out with him. They're not going to necessarily. Dangerous.
But think about these guys' relationships.
Well, normally, I'm trying to think. No, they're not. They're usually mellowed out a little bit because they're 40. They're not quite as chaotic or filled with, like, who's this dude in the yearbook that you went to the prom with 3 years ago? They're past that because they're not producing testosterone anymore.
And then many 21-year-olds, if her priorities are just to have fun, all right, whatever.
I don't get me wrong. I don't completely trust the guy, but I don't say that he's dangerous.
I'm with you. I just think it needs to be evaluated carefully.
Sandra?
Uh-huh.
So what'd you do? Get the guy's phone number?
Yeah.
What is it about this guy?
I don't know. Yeah. Just, like, we talk on the phone forever, and he just is so, like, I have deep conversations with him. Like, rather than, hey, what's going on, let's go hang out type of things that I do with my friends, so.
Right. And you guys talk until his mom picks up the other line and tells him?
No, his mom actually passed away.
Oh, I see.
His dad. His dad.
And what kind of club was this you met him at?
A nightclub.
Was he there alone?
No, he was with a friend of his.
All right. And they're just, they like to dance?
I guess. I don't know.
All right. Did he ask you to dance?
No, actually, we kind of stood outside the whole time and talked.
You just met him outside?
Yeah.
All right. Good times. Guys having a cigarette?
Mm-hmm.
Good times. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, take it slow.
I will.
All right. All right. Guys going to clubs. You know, women are so amazed. They're like, there's a lot of guys who like going to clubs because then once you get with a woman and you settle down, she can't understand why you don't want to go out to clubs. Because it's like, I thought guys like women are like, hey, I met you at a club. And then when I used to go to clubs, I only saw a bunch of dudes there, like dancing and stuff. Why is it all of a sudden you don't want to go to a club? It's like, we never wanted to go to the club.
Just where you guys were.
You guys were there, so we went there. If you guys would have went to Coin-Op Laundromat, we would have been at the Coin-Op Laundromat. Oh. But then later on in life, when we got a washer and dryer put in, don't ask us why we're not back at the Coin-Op.
Yeah.
Women will never understand. And these guys screw it up. Because the whole thing about the club is you can't tell the woman you're there to pick up chicks. It's like, why are you here? Oh, I like to dance. Yeah, I'm into house and techno. So they go there and they're like, wow, so this guy's just doing his own thing. Because there's nothing a woman likes more than the perception that the guy isn't trying to pick them up.
Right.
He just came out to this crappy club on a Saturday night, was just going to do his own thing.
And they're always kind of surprised. Like, he talked to me and he, like, wanted my number.
Yeah.
What the hell do you think he was doing there?
Just a coincidence. He just wanted to go out and listen to a bunch of crappy house music and spend $80 on drinks for chicks he never met. That's a good time, right, Drew? We should do that this weekend.
Good times.
Just me and you go to a club.
Yeah.
Chris?
Hey, what's going on?
You're 22?
That's right. I'm an engineering major in Philadelphia, and all seniors have to do a senior design project. Mm-hmm. I'm in a group of three. One of my teammates is a 26-year-old mother with two kids, and she was married. Now she's divorced, and she has a boyfriend in Brooklyn, which is about 2.5 hours away from school.
Right.
It seems right now that we're having a lot of tension in the group because she keeps on neglecting our work, basically, for kids and for our boyfriend, and it's getting frustrating. I was just wondering if Drew had some...
Are you in an engineering school?
Yes.
So are you Lafayette or something? Where are you?
No, I'm at Drexel University.
Drexel.
What is, what's the final project? They give you a bunch of spaghetti and some paste, and you've got to put it together and see if you can hold, like, a anvil up for more than 10 minutes?
Make a robot that can destroy other robots.
Oh.
Put it on TV.
Yeah, what is your project? What is your engineering project?
We're designing a renovation for the Baltimore Aquarium.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
And you're designing a renovation.
Right, so we're structural engineers.
So it's all on paper.
Right.
Right. Oh, my God. you goddamn structural engineers come out to California. You ruined my life with all your hold downs and your grade beams.
Why?
And, because
the earthquake
they go nuts. You can't build anything anymore in this goddamn town without one of these guys and your shear walls, your hurricane straps and your A-35s. Driving me nuts. All right,
what are you going to do?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll just bootleg stuff now. F the city.
Chris, there must be a project advisor, right?
What do you need her for? Yep. How many of them are you?
Three.
The three of us. She's actually taking a lot of the work, but she's taking it home, and that's the problem. I don't feel like I'm connected to the project. She's like, well, I'll just take it home and work on it. And then when I see what she's done, for our project, being an abstract, an introduction, and when you read it, it's not all there.
Have you told her this?
Yeah, but she just, it's like talking to a brick wall. She doesn't want to hear it.
You got to have an outside adjudicator on this. You've got to get isn't there an advisor in this project?
Yeah, but see, he's giving us the grade, so I don't want to rub him the wrong way and make him like.
No.
Feel
what about your partner?
Which one? The female or the
other one?
The third partner.
He's an Asian guy and he's just like, yeah, whatever. He doesn't really care. I mean,
All right. Okay. His line's bad, so I'm putting him on hold. I think you have to enlist the other partner because it's hard to get anything done when it's one against one instead of two against one.
This is like a roommate thing. It's exactly what this is.
Yes,
roommate doesn't want to pitch in, is not available.
There's three roommates. Yeah. One of them is not pulling their weight.
Yeah.
It's up for the sane one to hook up with the indifferent one to team up to go approach the lazy one.
But sometimes the passive one won't do it. And when that happens, you really got to get the... got to get someone involved. I think you've got to risk going to the advisor because it's...
I think you have to talk to her one more time before you go
to
any...
Right, but you got
to
say that's where you're going next. You're not hearing me. I have to have somebody... If you can't hear me, somebody else is going to have to really settle this. Not a personal thing, but for the good of this project, it's not working without more cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just about spending a weekend, just honkering down, as a group.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
Studying sucks.
Kind of miss it.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
oh, you do. You do because it gives you something to do. You don't have to free your mind, man. Expand your horizon,
yeah,
man.
I like being under the influence of the man.
No, but I was thinking about your kids tonight when I was eating dinner. I was thinking about the constant goals and activities that are put before them each and every day.
Yeah.
All the musical lessons and the homework and the schools and the after school sports and the travel and the various activities. And I thought, I wonder, and we've talked about this before, I don't know if that's all good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a certain amount of it's good, better to err on the side of activities, but a certain amount of board time for kids I think is healthy.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm completely convinced I taught my mind to operate because I had nothing to do but stare at the ceiling for too long.
You filled it. Yeah, could be.
I was like a prisoner doing push-ups in his cell.
Interesting.
All right. Thank you. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tomorrow night, Tia Carrera will be in here. She is a real hot sort of Eurasian broad who was, she's on that Relic Hunter. And I'm trying to think of her syndicated TV show that was on for a while. I think it's still on because I saw it the other day. But she was a hot chick from Wayne's World and many other things. She's going to be in Playboy this month. So good. Wanting to see her naked for a long time. Josh?
Yeah.
You're 14?
17.
17.
You cut me off.
All right.
Just earlier.
Right.
Because it's radio on.
Mm-hmm. So I met this girl last Saturday. We became...
He's completely turned himself around, I'll tell you that.
Oh, boy. Endearing to us.
He's a new man. Hey, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, with all the sucking up and the ass kissing, just ask a question, please. I mean, I understand we got off on the wrong foot, but you're overdoing it, buddy.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
she was playing around with my balls or like on a date, and like 30 minutes after, it's starting to hurt for like 3 hours. Feels like I got kicked in it.
Yeah.
A little bit more painful than that.
A little more painful than being kicked in the balls.
Mm-hmm.
To me, let me check the pain list. Bullet in the head. That's the only thing more painful than a kick in the balls.
Both sides or one more than the other? Both sides. That's kind of weird. Did it radiate anywhere? Go down your leg or anything?
Just stayed there. And maybe a little bit of tingle in my stomach.
She was playing with your balls for how long?
About 5 minutes.
Yeah. I can't figure out whether the call was bogus or I just don't care. I don't like Josh.
It's hard
you
to know.
You don't like me.
All right. Well, maybe that's it.
But here's the deal. You can get a testicular torsion. I mean, the testicle can twist on itself and twist off its own blood supply. It can be actually an emergency. So that pain continues or comes back, and especially if it radiates up in the abdomen, as you're describing.
It would creep up the abdomen.
Eventually.
He didn't describe that. You described that.
He said he had some tingling in his abdomen. He vaguely described it. He did.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it now seems to have resolved.
You were trying to lead the witness that way. You didn't really go for it, is what I'm saying. But I think it was bogus, so.
All right. So if it's not bogus and it comes back, you got to go to the hospital. That's the bottom line.
All right. And she was just, you think she was just twisting his sack up like a wind-up beanie for five minutes?
No, I don't think she was doing it. First of all, she's like, how old is she? 14, did you say?
Well, he's 17, but it says he's 14.
But I mean, did he have his pants? What was she doing? You know what I mean?
Oh, who knows?
Yeah, okay. And so you don't really get a torsion by manipulating your testicles. That's not really how it happens. So
right.
He probably read about it and thought that's how it happened and made up the call.
All right. Let's talk to Matt. He was a delight, though. I'm glad he called back. Matt, you're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, let me give you some quick background. I was born with a heart disorder. It's called PDA. Are you familiar with it?
Mm-hmm. Well, Drew is. We've heard on the call.
Patent ductus arteriosus.
Yeah. And they didn't catch it till I was 13 years old.
Huh.
And I was taken to specialists when I was younger, once because I wasn't gaining weight properly. And I think I'd been to 2 cardiologists prior to that, and they said I was normal, I was fine. And then when I was 13, they caught it, and then they fixed it. But I just want to know if there's, like, any legal action I should take against the specialist that I saw.
Well, what were the consequences?
I don't know. Like, I just read recently that, like, people that, like, the result of having that was that you don't gain weight properly and that kind of thing.
Sometimes. But the point is, you didn't suffer any real consequences, so what are you going to sue them for?
It
took a while. With any disease, it takes a while before it sort of presents itself. And
I mean,
they
knew I had a heart murmur from the day I was born. They just thought it was innocent.
They didn't do echocardiograms as you were growing up?
No, I went to 2 cardiologists specifically for the murmur, and they just said it was innocent.
And didn't do an echocardiogram?
Didn't do anything.
That's kind of interesting.
Hmm.
You sure? But you
What's innocent mean?
Just
like,
mean,
did it was just a normal, I guess?
Incidental. It just doesn't have any significance.
Did they say innocent?
Yeah.
That's a word they use sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
But I can't find it hard to believe they wouldn't have done some sort of imaging to see what was going on.
That's what they did when I was 13, when they caught it.
Yeah, it's easy then. I don't deal with kids, so I don't know how a pediatric cardiologist
Don't sue them.
But the reality is, I mean, you sue people when there's been consequences.
Do you think there could be? Is there any consequences?
No, you're fine.
No? Okay.
Yeah. Well, put it in your will that, you want them to sue if someone finds this note.
Okay.
put a note in your wallet.
Is that what you had, though, patent ductus?
Yeah.
Patent ductus, all right.
All right, hey, good times. Listen, everyone stop suing. I'm just, I've had an ass full of everybody, and they're suing. I've made it to age 38. I've never managed to sue anybody. Just don't do it. Or, like I said, when I'm in charge, everyone gets 2 lawsuits their whole life. That's it. I'm amazed that these judges are like, these people had 22 lawsuits in the last 8 years. Wouldn't you just immediately
dismiss it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would hear, my whole thing would be, I don't know what this case is. I don't know if guilty or not guilty or if it's worthy of being settled here, but I see the other 22. That's all I need to see.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, wouldn't you like a cap on lawsuits?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, isn't there really just 2% or actually 1% of this population that's just screwing up the entire system pretty much?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yep.
Shouldn't we just put a bullet in the back of those guys' heads?
I know that's where you're heading. You're going to take things when you go to power.
Oh, man. It's going to be great. Like that old hag who sued the city of Los Angeles for, she was the mother of one of the North Hollywood bank robbers. And the guy was spraying all these bullets into the city and everything. And she sued the city because eventually one of the cops shot a bullet that got under her kid's body armor and put him down. And then they didn't get him medical attention fast enough, so she sued the city. Doesn't she need a nice bullet right in the temple? That's a big deal if someone puts a bullet in her head.
How about the attorney that took the case?
Yeah. Well, yep. Yep. That guy could use something, too. Sean?
Yep.
You're 27?
Yeah.
What's up?
I hear you guys talking, like, a while back. You said that if you had a real traumatic childhood, that you probably shouldn't have kids. Well, I already have a couple of kids, and I had a pretty traumatic childhood. I'm wondering if there's, like, warning signs or... if, like, I'm going to unintentionally screw my kids up,
What happened to your child? What happened growing up?
Well, when I was really young, like 3 or 4, my babysitter's son, who was, like, 10, forced me and another girl being babysat to have sex. We were, like, 3 and 4, maybe.
The two of you together?
Yeah, yeah. And he would, like, say that he would tell his mom if we did it. So we thought we were supposed to be doing it.
Right.
And then, my mom was divorced. My dad died when I was really young. Like, the list goes on. She married an alcoholic who was abusive, and he committed suicide.
Are you an addict?
I have addictive tendencies. I was addicted to cocaine and had an alcohol problem. Luckily, I quit both without help.
But you're not in the program.
No, I've never been in any program.
If you really want to do something good for your kids, that will change you in a way that will decrease the risk of all this trauma being transmitted to your kids.
Okay, like getting into like AA or something.
Yeah, get a sponsor, work on the steps. You'll grow through that process in a way that will sort of absorb a lot of this. Let's say.
How long have you been sober?
Let's see. I haven't been drunk. Like I socially drink maybe a half a beer, but I haven't been drunk in.
Hold on, half a beer.
Well, yeah, I like sip off of friends' beers.
But I understand you're not using right now, but you're looking for ways to take. The trauma affects your sort of your emotions, affects where you're at, and it's going to be. We naturally transmit a lot of that to our kids. It's intergenerational transmission of trauma. And unless you do something to correct that or change, basically your brain's wiring, the kids are going to feel it. And recovery is a free way to do that.
Yeah, but you have how many? You have 2 kids.
Yep, 2 kids.
Do you have a wife?
Oh yeah, wife. 8 years and 2 weeks.
Is she normal?
Am I normal?
Is she normal?
Oh, yeah, she is. She came from a good family.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Good times.
Yeah, you weren't too screwed up. You married someone who was normal.
Yeah.
All right, you'll be fine. I mean, listen, I agree with Drew. Here's the thing. You're 27. You married a normal woman. If you're going to screw up your kids, you would have made your move by now. Probably. Better be, ranting, raping and doing blow off the kid's ass and doing all that kind of stuff. So I think he's fine. And here's the other thing, too. 90% of you are going to be affected by your parents' actions. All of us are.
Oh, yeah.
But for some of us, it'll ruin you.
Mm.
Right, for most of us, depending on how bad they were. And then some people somehow have the ability. I don't know what it is. You hear about it once in a while. This guy came from this, grew up on the mean streets of and the poverty stricken.
Well,
father was an alcoholic, blah, blah, blah. And they somehow seem to transcend it. It's not the norm, though. It's the exception.
They've actually looked at that study, that. And the one study I'm familiar with.
J-Lo?
Yeah, she's the solution.
Yeah.
Is that they found that in at-risk kids. Or kids
she's the study, Drew.
I see.
Grew up in the tough part of town.
I see. Oh, yeah, she's the case study of one.
Mm-hmm.
That they take kids from at-risk families and looked at how come some of the kids turn out fine, exactly what you're saying. And they found the one common thread was a single, sustained, positive relationship outside of the home with an adult.
Outside of the home,
Like a big brother or something like that,
Yeah, but, that stuff could just be playing sports and having coaches
Absolutely.
And that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just one. Just one relationship is all I need.
Yeah, but like if you got like a football coach, that's 3 months out of the year. What do you do the other 9 months?
Maybe that's somebody you can develop a relationship with, you go back, chat with every month or so.
Mm.
Just a positive relationship.
Right. All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll talk to Christina. Wants to know how to tell a boyfriend he's too big.
Or?
Sex hurts. Or Selena, who's 19, wants to know how to get boyfriend to give her anal sex.
Which one do you want?
Let's go anal, then to the too big.
Okay.
All right, after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, let's get back to Selena, who's 19. Wants to know how to get her boyfriend to give her anal sex. She's afraid. Oh, he's afraid it'll hurt her. Selena?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. How long have you been with this guy?
2 years.
And you're the one moving this along, right?
Yeah, I've been like trying to get him to give me anal sex, and he says that he's afraid that he might hurt me.
Have you had this with someone else before?
Yes.
And it didn't hurt?
No.
And you liked it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you did.
He told me that he's afraid because he had a girl, well, before me.
Yeah.
He did it for the first time by giving her anal sex, and he said that he hurt her somehow, and he made her cry really bad.
Well, that's usually the goal with these guys, isn't it?
This guy sounds like a genius. He made her cry really bad.
He said she really, really cried. Like
it can be horribly painful for someone.
I mean, to be fair, she had fallen asleep on the sofa, and he came up behind her with a running start and a boner. So, I mean, she wasn't prepared properly to receive him. So there are extenuating circumstances, but
it's still bizarre that he won't go along with Selena, who's just so into this.
Well, I think he's freaked out by it.
Have you told...
He's afraid that he's going to make me cry.
Wait a minute,
like,
though.
You're not going to make me cry.
So you've told him that you've done this before?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just
get abused from Selena. I just read...
And I've been trying to get him to, like, you know, I really want it. And he's all, no, I'm afraid I might hurt you or, you know.
Well, let me explain, really, anal for guys. 85% of it is emotional.
Uh-huh.
Seems to be.
Yeah, we want to go there first.
Oh, Missy. Oh.
We want to claim that anus in the name of France. We don't want someone there who's landed on that beach before we got there.
Put that pole down and
planted the flag. Number one. And number two, we'd like it to be our idea. And if it's your idea, then we get a little bit.
Yeah.
We get a little bit unnerved. Guys are that way. A little more bravado. This isn't so much a physical sensation thing.
No.
There's 15% of the guys like the physical sensation of it, but the rest of the guys are just looking to make a statement. And how are you going to make a statement when it's not your idea?
I see.
Yeah.
So, but Selena.
Yes.
Were you ever abused?
No.
All right. So everything's fine with you?
Yes, I'm cool.
Junior college?
I'll be starting college in January.
Junior college?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shocking. I smell that junior college, baby.
I'm not in college yet.
I know. You're heading there, though.
Yeah, I'm heading there.
All right. Where are you going to go to junior college?
Which college?
No, I know what college is, but what is college, by the way?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I said, where are you going to go to junior college? And she said, what's college?
Yeah.
But I think she meant college. What college?
Which one?
I'll be going to Cerritos.
Cerritos?
Yes.
All right. They, I think they have a good food preparation program over there. Don't waste your time. Just get to work, would you?
Oh, I do work.
Just keep your job.
What do you do for a living?
Huh?
What do you do for work?
Works
I work
with kids.
For Vons. I work in the deli.
Food. That's good.
Yeah. Keep up with that. Don't worry about junior college. It's nothing there for you.
So what should I do about my boyfriend? Like,
Just tell him. You'll sign a waiver. And take all responsibility.
And by the way, if you withhold,
not to cry.
If you withhold other forms of sex, I promise he'll take this one.
The more aggressive you get about this, the more he's going to freak out.
Yeah, but this is not aggressive. This is, come on, you got to do this. This is, we're not doing this other stuff. When you're ready, fine.
I say that is aggressive and is liable to freak the guy out even more.
So what's her technique?
I would say this guy's not down for the anus, and you should just check his name off of that list.
Ooh. That's it.
Well, I mean, imagine.
She really wants that.
What do you think this is going to do for the guy when you sort of force him into anal?
Some women, the particular those that are sort of multi-orgasmic, this is their intense experience. This is it.
All right. All right. So, Selena, tell him Christmas is coming up. And
that's what you want for Christmas?
When you don't get it in the ass, it makes the baby Jesus cry. That's what you say, especially around the holidays. He'll see the nativity scenes up front of the churches. It'll get to him. Christina, you're 19. All righty. Didn't hear anything at all coming from Christina's line. Let's talk to Tim. Tim?
Yes.
You're 35.
Yep.
What's up?
My ex-wife was killed in an auto accident, and I was listening to you guys on Wednesday about a 20-year-old girl dating a 50-year-old man and having a little abandonment issues, and it made me think of my kids and what they're going to go through without having their mom.
How old are your kids?
7, 6, and 5.
Wow.
And were they... Were they
involved? No.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, did she have custody of them, or were you guys splitting the custody?
We're splitting week to week.
Week to week.
Right.
So how are they taking it so far?
They're doing okay. We're in counseling. We go to counseling once a week.
All right.
And they're doing pretty good with that.
And how long's it been?
July. Happened in July, so 5 months.
Just keep going. Do you go as a foursome to therapy?
It's a group.
You go to a group, like a grief group or something?
Right, it's a grief group.
Well, kids seem resilient. They just seem like they just kind of go on, like no
right.
big deal, and they seem to be still kids. But that's part of how they get into trouble. They don't process these things properly. They sort of wall off against the overwhelmingly painful feelings associated with this. And as much as possible, you got to follow the direction of the therapist. If they say you should, some of them, one or the other, needs individual work, get it.
Right.
And it's about keeping them in a therapeutic process because that decreases the risk that they have complications from this.
Yeah.
This is a major, major, major.
Are you loss. Are you thinking about getting remarried? Are you seeing anybody?
I am seeing somebody, but marriage, no.
Do you have any other sources, resources for the kids? Do you in the religious, church, clergy, anything like that?
No, not really.
Anybody at the school offers?
Yeah, I've been working with the school also.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big deal all around.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it wasn't expected.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The school's really involved also. So.
Right. Well, Tim, most of the... when somebody steps up, like, you know, things go wrong in life. People
yes.
die, people get diseases. There's tragedy. But then when somebody steps up and tries to rectify it and tries to take care of it, we don't usually see long-running consequences from things like this.
I know some theorists who say it's not so much what parents do or what happens in life, it's what kids didn't get that causes the problems. And here's Tim making sure they get everything they need. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what parents don't do. I mean, all parents make mistakes, but when they don't allow for the healing, they don't provide that. That's where the mistakes and the problems
are. Yeah, I mean, we talk to people all the time and say, my mom passed away when I was young, or my dad passed away when I was young, but my other parent remarried, and my step-so-and-so was good, and my dad sort of worked hard to do whatever, and they seem like they've worked it out.
Right.
So Tim, sorry about this. I'm not going to worry about you or your kids, so I think you'll be all right. You just
track.
Keep going
right.
and doing what you're doing, and don't freak out about it. Let's talk to...
Christina's back.
Oh, but that's got to freak a kid out.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. Christina?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
All right, so what's up?
I've been with my boyfriend for 6 months, and we've been having sex for the past 2 months, but it's very uncomfortable, and it hurts too much. I've had other partners before, but he's just really big, and I don't know how to tell him that I mean, it hurts so bad, I don't even want to have sex with him.
Hmm.
I don't know how to, but I'm like, I feel like I'm emotionally attached to him. I think I'm falling in love with him, but...
He doesn't know it, though, that you're hurting so badly when he's on top of you?
I think he just thinks it's pleasure. I don't tell him out. I do moan a lot more, but it's just, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
I guess I don't want to hurt his feelings. I don't want him to think he's doing something wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It would break my heart if a woman told me I was too big just once.
I mean
what's he got between his legs?
a penis?
I couldn't even tell you.
Pink hand?
Pardon?
Is it the width that's the problem or the length?
I think it's both.
You think it's both?
I've never had one that big before.
Oh.
But we got to take a break
Son
here.
Son of a bitch. As opposed to the comments I get, which is, yep, that's right in the middle. A little on the light side. All right. Really going to break the guy's heart to find out he has a huge door?
We get way more calls about too big than too little. I'm sure he's had these complaints before, so we'll see.
We'll be back. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tia Carrera is going to be in here tomorrow night. The super hot Eurasian broad from Wayne's World and many other endeavors. And like I said, I think she has that, I don't know what that bounty hunter show is.
Oh, yeah.
She's doing something. She's traveling down the Nile, wearing slinky stuff, looking for jewels.
We'll find out about it.
Yeah. Okay. So she's in here tomorrow night. She's in Playboy this month. I think that's what she's promoting. All right. We lost our last caller with the big penis question, but... don't worry about offending a guy by explaining to him he has a huge penis.
No.
Number one. And number two, the advice would be, the obvious ones, like lubrication, right?
Yeah, but by the way, warn the guy with the weapon.
Right.
They have to use it a little more carefully. If he doesn't have any idea how he's affecting her, how can he possibly? Of course it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And again, it makes me feel good to point out that... way more calls with the too big penis than the too small.
Yeah.
The guys with too big penis are cursed. Cursed.
Yeah. Ouch! And I don't know what it is about women that think it's such a taboo to speak up in bed, like even if you're in pain.
Weird.
Like, have you ever been, like, Drew, you've nailed, every different kind of broad. And I mean, thousands. Especially, that's why I got into med school. And if someone ever piped up and said, like, go slow, or hey, take it easy, or hold on a second, or take it slow at the beginning or something. Were you ever like, oh, how dare you? No. I'll never F you again. I'm packing up my penis and balls and leaving. Thank you. Enough. No, it's always like, it's the opposite. It's always like, sorry, got going a little too fast here. Try to take it easy. Then 3 seconds later, you're pounding away at them like you're playing whack-a-mole, But whenever you hear that, hey, take it easy or slow it down or whatever, which most guys are going to hear, big penis or not, it's some point in their sexual career, right? You always just slow down, right?
Yeah,
you don't get pissed off.
No.
This is women. Don't worry about it. And especially if it's because the guy's got a big dork. See, for me, it's like I'm not lubricating properly.
That's a little different.
Yeah. When the roofies kick in, that might be another situation. But until then, slow it down. Jessica?
Yeah?
You're 13?
Yep.
You pierced your own lip with a safety pin?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're hardcore, baby. Yeah. Yeah, no one's going to do anything to you again. You do it to yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly what that is.
And what'd you do? You go through under your lip?
Yeah.
Like the lower? What is that one called?
I don't know.
All right.
A lip.
Yeah.
It's called a lip. There's no prince or king or maiden or anything.
What's the question?
Well, when I came home today, like, it's been in for, like, 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what's been in?
Like, the safety pin.
You left a safety pin in your lip?
Yeah.
Oh, good times. Nice. Good times.
Nice luck.
And so when I came home, my mom, like, screamed at me. She said she didn't like it, so I took it out.
Right.
And then,
who knew?
So my lip is all hard and stuff, mm-hmm. like around the spot where it was pierced. Awesome. And I don't know if it's infected or not. And if it is, like, what can I do? Clean it or something?
No, you need some antibiotics by mouth, or maybe even intravenously, depending how bad it is. And you got to get this checked out because it's near your brain. Stuff can spread pretty quick up there in your head.
Are you punk?
Sure, I guess.
Okay.
I hang out with punks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Punks love the safety pins.
Hmm.
What?
Punks love safety pins.
Yeah.
And it's something as non-punks, you don't really think about too much.
There's punks and safety pin punks.
Yeah. But really? I mean, most, I mean, punks use safety pins much more than non-punks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I remember as a kid, I had a pair of swim trunks where the elastic was effed up. And by the way, what's going on today? Stuff just cheap now, or my parents just exquisitely cheap when I was growing up? But, like, if I had a pair of swim trunks where the string got pulled out or the elastic went bust on it, so the next three summers you wear it with the safety pin, you know, bunching up the side. Thankfully, safety pins aren't as big a part of my life as they were back then, but maybe they were a bigger part of everyone's life.
No, it's a kid's life, kid's thing. We still have them around. We use them.
It's kids like kid pops the button on his jeans and you got the safety pin in there.
You're using them.
But the safety pin stabs you every once in a while because it pops open on you when you're wrestling around or riding your bike or something.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah.
All right, well, you got an infected lip now. You probably need some antibiotics by mouth because there's no way to get into the tissue to cleanse it. It's a bacteria in there now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you ever remember the flesh-eating bacteria? Remember all that scare?
That's what you got.
That's how that happens. It gets in the soft tissue and starts spreading like crazy.
Okay.
So did you just push this thing through your lip yourself?
Yep.
Wow, you're angry.
My friend did her bridge.
That's hardcore.
Her bridge. Oh, my God, by herself?
Yep.
That's up here.
Oh, did the bridge, right? Yeah, that's hardcore. What did you do, ice it down first?
Nope.
Yeah. You didn't just shove something through there.
Yeah, I swear.
Put some ice on it.
No.
Come on.
No, I swear.
Were you high?
No.
Were you badly beaten growing up?
No.
Where did
we
you
were
need?
We bored, so we just did it.
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, then.
Drew, what about that time you were bored?
And I
hey, Anderson. All right, forget
I was bored, so I put a spear through my penis?
All right, forget it.
No?
No.
Here it comes. Here comes.
No. First off, Drew, why do you ever say here it comes?
To make fun of Anderson.
Okay.
The penis is very dysfunctional. No. Alex?
What are you guys watching? What's on TV in that next room? Something's on.
Man Show.
Something's good.
Crank Yankers.
No. Really? Watching Crank Yankers?
I was bored, so I had my tongue pierced. I was bored, so I put a spear through my penis.
There you go. See, when we edit this show down, it's going to be seamless. All right, so Jessica needs to get on some antibiotics, yes?
Probably.
Really? How screwed up does a chick... Chicks have a low threshold for pain.
How screwed up does a chick have to be
just to shove a safety pin through her
that's
lip?
That's why I went the abuse route. Not only does she have to do something to herself before someone does it to her, but to need that level of arousal to seek that.
Let me talk to her. Jessica.
Yeah?
When did you lose your virginity?
Still virgin.
Still virgin?
Yeah.
Where's your dad?
Don't really care.
All right. There we go.
What happened with him? What did he do to you?
What?
What'd he do to you?
Nothing.
Well, why don't you care about your dad?
Well, I don't know. He's just really weird.
What did he do?
He said that he needs to find someone else to walk me down the aisle, I guess. I don't know. But he wasn't abusive or anything.
Well, where is he now?
He's in Long Beach. This is his wife. Other wife.
Okay.
You mean he's forsaken you as a child?
What?
He has forsaken you as a child?
Yeah, sure.
You don't think that's abusive?
No.
That's not abusive.
I don't know.
All right. All right, well, say, Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
We know you got some problems. That's all I'm saying. And you just sort of take them out on yourself with the safety pins.
No, I was just bored.
Okay, well, all right. Whatever. All right, just do whatever you want. But it's this. Don't come crying to me when some guy in a Letterman jacket beats the crap out of you in 5 years, or make it 2 years, or you have trouble getting a job. That's all. Just look, I understand you're in pain. Maybe you don't think you are. You're bored. That's fine. Just... when society sort of turns against you because you convince society that it should turn against you at a certain point, don't complain.
I was bored.
That's all. There we go. Alex.
Hey, how's it going?
You're 18.
Yep. Well, first of all, I say I've been listening to you guys since I was in seventh grade, and finally after 7 years, I got through. It took me a long time, but...
Wow.
Every night for 7 years.
Couple questions for you.
All right.
First of all, I was wondering, I had read somewhere that, like, the day before and the day after your period, you are completely 0% fertile, no chances of getting pregnant.
Not true.
Okay, I was making sure.
But
it's low chance.
It's decreased quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say zero.
And another thing, I was recently infected with herpes, and I was wondering if...
Military experiment or just a sexual partner?
Just a sexual partner.
I sprayed out of helicopters over the...
Hey, Drew, you kid all you want, but I've seen them.
Oh, I bet. You see it all, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Seen it all and done it all.
Mm-hmm.
But, if... excuse me.
Mm.
If, I were to receive oral sex when I wasn't breaking out, would there be, as much of a chance of that person, receiving it?
No. You have genital herpes?
Mm-hmm.
And, no, but still a chance.
A chance, yeah.
Okay, but it's much more minor.
It's a lot. Let's put it this way. If you have an active outbreak, you are going to transmit it.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's talk about this, Drew. Let's work this out. Warts, you can transmit all the time.
Right.
Genital warts. Still more likely if there's a wart present.
More virus.
But still a chance that you can transmit this all the time.
Yes.
And herpes, you can transmit all the time, because sometimes there can be some virus there, even if there's no outbreak there.
And there's some evidence that just introducing new tissue causes the virus, some viral outbreaks in some people.
Yeah, because the guy that I was with, he had showed no signs of it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I had called him, and he's like, I don't have it. And I said, well, you better get checked out, because obviously you've got something.
Right, yeah. Right. But now then, so if you're doing oral sex on somebody... What, would you get the oral herpes from that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, good times.
Both ways.
Get it in the mouth.
All right.
And one question for you, Adam.
Yeah.
I've been dating this guy for about a month. And in the last couple of weeks, he's been getting more and more, you know, like calling me and asking me where I'm going. And I've spent a lot of time with him. But, you know, I need to worry about college and getting my life together. And I told him that, you know, you need to worry about yourself before you can start to worry about anybody else. And he's worrying about me more than himself. And it's making me, like, I want to leave. But then again, I don't, because he had gotten out of a relationship with his wife.
Alex. Can't use the F word there, man.
Jesus. He was so comfortable with us.
You've been listening to the show for 7 years. Did you ever hear the F word on the air? Probably only 3 or 4 times.
Oh, my God.
Anderson, you know. All right. He's in a... What? He was married. His wife effed him over.
I want to hear the rest of the story. Let's go.
All right.
Let's get her back. Come on.
Yeah. Alex.
Alex.
Listen to me, screwball.
Unacceptable.
You can't use the F word on the air. You understand?
Yeah, did I say it again?
No, but you said it the first time.
Oh, yeah, I already know. You said it.
Hey.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh. Very close.
Anyway.
Wow.
That was about the closest ever, I'd say. Adam was reaching with full speed to hang up on you, and you got that sorry and under the wire.
I have waited this long. Please don't hang up on me.
Okay, all right.
So he
got screwed over by a girlfriend.
Ex-wife with
ex-wife,
child.
Child, all right.
Mm-hmm. How old is this guy?
He's 23.
Was the ex-wife a sort of an alcoholic?
No, but I think she had depression.
All right. So this guy's a caretaker. He's a codependent.
Mm.
He needs to be taking care of everybody else.
Kid. Yeah, Alex, I agree with you, which is you got your life. And see, he may get insecure and come after you. And the more you tell him you need to do your own thing, you need a little your own space, the more he's going to freak out and come at you, and then he's going to drive you away without even really knowing it.
Yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. His worst nightmare is going to come true.
By his behavior.
I wonder if guys ever really fully know what percentage of the time this happens, where a woman, and I'm sure I've done this 1,000 times too, woman is sort of entertaining the thought of getting rid of you, but it's just a small kernel, just a seed in the back of their mind somewhere, and they're thinking, this guy could go this way or he could go that way, but they have some thought that maybe this relationship's they'd like to pull it back just a little bit, not break it off, just reel it in a little bit. So they sort of let the guy get that vibe, and then the guy gets a little panicky and he gives her the bum rush. and he starts calling more, and he starts coming by, and he starts feeling insecure, and now the chick just packs it in completely.
All that anxiety just gets dumped on him.
Right. And they just pull up stakes and leave completely.
Yeah.
Guys, listen to me. If a woman ever says to you, you know, I got to worry about my stuff, and you got to worry about your stuff, and it's great if we can come together on the weekends and have a good time, but, you know, during the week, I got my life to live, and you got your only answer if you want any chance at this thing is, yeah, you got a good point. I was just going to say the same to you, but that's great. I'll see you Saturday.
And then make yourself a little bit elusive.
A little bit. A
little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, tell her, hey, no problem, I'll see you this weekend. And then have her call you on Friday. And then act a little surprised. That's the part I always like, the part where you're diabolically planning this thing out. I mean, you're like a general in the war room, and you act surprised. You know that? I mean, Drew, how many times have you done this?
Well, that's part of the master plan.
Phone rings Friday night. Hello? Hello? Who's this? This is Jenny. Oh, Jenny, that's right. You've been thinking about her all goddamn week, and then you do this one. Is it Friday already?
You're not even that retarded. You'll say something like, well, that's right, we were going to do something tonight, weren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got kind of caught up, you know? Jeez. So busy crying, masturbating, and cutting out letters from the newspaper to form a horrible letter I was going to send you. I forgot. I forgot about this.
And women think only women do that. They have no idea that some men get into that big time.
I just love the part where you're trying to play it casual. Oh, this week, yeah. I remember this chick I was dating. It was like the first person in the United States to get caller ID.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was traumatic.
Yeah.
I'm talking about caller ID. I'm talking about 10 years ago, this bitch had caller ID, and I was, like, telling her. I'd been calling her and, like, hanging up and doing the whole thing, and she finally called, and she's like, and, I, you know, our last conversation was, like, let's reel it in. And I was like, yeah, all right, I'll catch you whenever. I'm cool. I'm busy, you know. Like I said.
Busy. I was busy construction.
I got watching TV with my roommates and beating off. You know, I got a pretty full plate. Pretty full plate over here. I was thinking about draining the pool. You know, I got a lot going on. A lot going on. And so she said, you've been calling. And I'm like, and I'm doing the math. Like, she never picked up the phone. And I didn't leave a message on her message machine. I was like, wasn't me. And she's like, yeah, I got this thing called caller ID, and your number came up like 8 times in the last 4 hours. I'm like, and that's when you give that answer, which you're guilty, but you're still not ready to concede. And it usually goes like this. Well, I don't know about that. But what I do know is, change the subject.
Yeah.
That just means guilty. It's the same answer the guy gives at the transmission shop on 2020 when they put the lipstick camera underneath the hood and they got a picture of the guy taking a ball peen hammer and whacking it on the transmission because some elderly couple is coming in there posing as. It's the same answer when they show them, when they get that clamshell, that monitor, and they show them the thing, and the guy's looking at himself beat on the transmission with the hammer. He'll go like, yeah, I don't know about that, but I know you guys got to get out of this.
Just right on past it.
Same answer I gave.
Hey, where did the clamshell go as a decorative item, by the way?
I don't know. We used to have many uses for clamshells.
Yeah, clamshells were...
Bikini tops, ashtrays. Oh, yes.
Every theater had a clamshell, like...
Yeah, the lights were the clamshell. Yeah, they had the... Abalone used to be something, too.
No, but not like that scalloped clam, like the giant clam.
I think that was giant clam.
We were like infatuated with giant clams for a long time.
Well, most...
ashtrays were giant clams.
Most aquatic fatalities were because of giant clams, as I recall growing up.
You'd get your foot, it would clamp down.
You'd get caught in a giant clam.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You couldn't get to the surface.
That or quicksand was the way I figured I'd go. Yeah.
Even fish tanks had that weird clam bubble thing.
Yep.
Thing would be flapping open. Yeah, we've lost interest in the clam. And the not only the clam, but the serrated clam shell.
The scalloped one.
Yeah,
but particularly the giant clam.
Yeah, completely off the map. Nick?
Yeah.
Nick, it's people like you that are going to have to spearhead the scalloped clam renaissance, and more specifically, the giant clam.
Bring back the giant clam. Maybe it's because we don't smoke anymore. They were the best ashtrays. Remember that?
It's like God made that made an ashtray out of a clam. Like, I wasn't even sure what they were. I just thought they were ashtrays. Like, look at God. This is great. Yeah, they actually had place. It's like a clam was the exact size an ashtray needed to be, which is the size of your palm.
Yeah.
So sort of your fingers. And then it was scalloped so you could, the cigarette wouldn't roll around.
Hey, fit it right in there.
It's perfect. Perfect. All right, what's up, Nick?
Me and my friends, we were messing around today, and we were thinking about it. We need to make a standard for the base system, like when you're talking about how far you went with the girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been saying that for a long time, and we're still quite bewildered, because every new crop of youngsters redoes the diamond.
Yeah. Well, I think, okay, here's what we have to, and why aren't you and your friends talking about the giant clam, by the way? That'll be your next conversation.
I'll make sure that is.
Please, bring that up. Let's try to agree on something with this, Drew.
All right. All
the crazy, like, anal stuff and the gangbang stuff, that crazy stuff has to be beyond the diamond.
Yeah, well, here's
the diamond can only support so much sex.
Well, interestingly enough, home base, everyone knows what that is, and first base, everyone knows what that is. It's second and third that are in contention always.
Right. I'm just saying that the problem with all the crazy stuff that has come in...
I see. It doesn't fit on the diamond anymore. It
doesn't fit on the diamond.
Yeah, you're right.
So the first thing we need to do is clean up the diamond.
Yeah.
And say that the crazy bukkake stuff and all that just... all the stuff, the stump stuff and all the European stuff, that's off the diamond.
Soccer field.
There's no room. Yeah, that goes onto the soccer field. Yeah. And then you have the 10-yard line and... I'll put them on a Canadian football field. I'll work that out. Okay, so first base has to be kissing.
Yes.
Here's the thing. We can't shift everything around.
Yeah.
I think the BJ screwed up the curve.
Oh, yeah.
Because the BJ didn't used to be on the diamond.
That's right.
The old diamond...
Maybe we should take it off.
You know, I've threatened the BJ many times. If it didn't straighten up, I was going to pull off the diamond.
Yeah, it could be like a first base coach or something.
Okay, so first base has always been kissing.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the old diamond?
It was first base kissing.
I remember second base being like tongue kissing and stuff, but that was an old diamond.
It was really breast feeling.
Feeling up the top.
Yeah.
Okay, and third base.
Feeling down below.
Feeling down below.
This is the old diamond.
Right, and then home base, okay, home plate.
Sex.
Okay, sex.
And then BJ occurred in the grotto at the Playboy Mansion.
Right. So, yes, BJ's the only thing celebrities do.
Yeah, right.
So here's what I think we ought to do. I think we ought to take first base, have it be the tongue kissing. Second, have it be the feeling up top and bottom.
Okay.
And then third, we make oral. And then home base is home base. Yes?
Yeah, that sounds good.
What if somebody can't complete the second base?
What do you mean?
There has to be heading into second or rounding second. Heading in is the...
Because it's not fair to say the guy grabbed a boob.
Yeah, see?
But didn't get to second.
Right.
Yeah, but...
That's heading into second.
No. Because I will include that on second.
Yeah, but you got to complete the dyad.
No, because feeling up top is like, it's like, here's what that's like. That's like you hit a Texas leaguer into a shallow left field, a blooper in the shallow left field, and you're hustling all the way, and you did a head first slide and just beat the throw out.
All right.
Okay? You're safe on second, but you got a bunch of dirt down your pants.
Yeah.
You have to call timeout and dust yourself off.
Well,
you were stretching it.
Yeah.
As opposed to doubling off the wall, like hitting a laser beam that just hits out in the power alley in left center, and the guy fields it nicely, makes a good turnaround and relay to second base.
Solid.
You take a nice stand up into second.
There are solid
you actually
doubles.
Round second and then head back in because the throw goes to third.
Solid doubles, and then the guys that just scamper to second.
What does that mean?
Just barely make it.
That's the head first slide.
Yeah.
That's like Pete Rose taking a long single and stretching it out into a double. All right, so up top means, okay, Up top means slid into second. Down below, stand up double. Even rounded second, thought about going to third, but the guy made a good relay.
Fielder's choice.
No.
No.
Come on, Drew, don't confuse things. All right, Nick. You good?
Drew, I got enough.
No.
Do we have a break?
Oh, we do. All right, let's do that. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. It's Doc Drew. Tomorrow night, Tia Carrera will be in here. She's in Playboy. This latest issue of Playboy. Hot Eurasian chick. Wayne's World. Yeah. All right, ready to rock?
You know, I watched, my kids are getting into the Austin Powers stuff. I watched the number one Austin Powers tonight with my kids. It's pretty clever, some of the stuff from the 60s. And that's what we talk about the 70s, he's sort of reflecting back on with the 60s.
Remember when he did the show?
Yes. That was promoting Austin Powers 1.
Yeah.
He was on Loveline, the TV show, 1996?
We were in...
Florida? Panama City.
Panama City, Florida, and Mike Myers was coming on the show. And I remember I got hold of a tape of, the promo. It's a little more than the promo. It's like a 10-minute reel of Austin Powers, because I think they had to sort of explain it to people back then, because no one knew what the F he was talking about or what this movie was. It was sort of a new... almost a new genre.
Yeah.
And I remember watching the promo, and I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. But the other thing I remember is him insisting that it be called Austin Powers International Man of Mystery.
Yes, I remember that.
And he really harped on it. Like, it was like, he wasn't a prick about it, but it was stated to me way more than once when we were hosting the show, and it was like the spring break Panama Beach MTV thing. Yeah. That it was Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. And I guess the moral of the story is that when you have to tell people three times, like, here's the title, and then you have to correct everyone all the time and explain to everyone, stop leaving this out, don't always include this. Here's what I mean. If people call you Dan, and you keep insisting on being called Daniel, but society keeps calling you Dan, here's the moral. Go with Dan.
Yeah. Go with the momentum.
Yes, because it's not Austin Powers International Man of Mystery, is it?
Don't fight the trend, right?
Yeah, I don't even know if it's... I wouldn't call the trend, though.
It's a trend just means the flow, the way it's going. Remember all the disc jockeys that were hot then that were like... Where are they all now?
What do you mean?
The MTV.
Oh. I don't know where everyone went. Probably in the radio.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, what do you mean? You mean the VJs back then?
We were sort of,
Who were they?
I can't remember.
All right. Marina?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I'm a lesbian, and I don't understand women at all. And, I feel as if I'm more compatible with men, yet there is no physical attraction at all.
And Marina is the number three lesbian name.
Is it? Really?
Yeah, Marina. Huh. Think about that. It's got the ocean right in there. Think about fish. It's a marina. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, now, what kind of lesbian are you? Were you forced into it because someone screwed with you, or are you just into it?
No, I've been attracted to girls ever since I was really little, grade school.
No one molested you or did anything weird?
I don't believe I was molested. I don't think so, no.
Don't think so. Physically abused?
Excuse me?
Were you ever physically abused?
No.
Okay.
So but you're unsure if you're molested, or you just... No.
No, I wasn't molested.
Okay.
Good. This is a true lesbian.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
I came from a more conservative Catholic family and stuff like that.
Is something happening with women? Did you recently get hurt or something?
Well, not really. I mean, I'm in a relationship right now, but... that really has nothing to do with the way I feel. It's just I feel as if I get along more with guys, and I can, I can play video games with them.
Well, I mean, look, it's like this. Guys are easier. I mean, let's face it. I mean, guys, if we're dogs, guys would be Labradors, and girls would be Chows. You know what I mean? Or
Briards or something, yeah.
They're just a little fussier breed.
Girls are much more prettier than cows, though.
Chows.
Not cows, chows. Chow chows. Okay, Maria.
Do you know, what kind of dog that is?
No.
With the black tongues? No? Okay.
Mm-mm. I should just stop talking. I should have stopped talking. I thought me specifying that we're all breeds of dogs would...
Yeah. Right. I can sound like a chicken.
No, that you're like a chicken.
She says you can sound like a chicken.
You can sound like a chicken?
I can sound like a chicken.
Yeah, give me a chicken. Wow.
That's more productive. Let's stay with that. Right, where is she calling from?
I'm going to screw with our caller. What's a chicken? I've never heard of a chicken. Must have come around after I was born. Well, that's pretty good. Do it again. You do anything else?
No.
Are you,
I used to talk to my friend's chickens.
Did you?
And then they would run after me.
Oh, really?
You live in a place where there's farm animals?
No.
No. Okay. Well,
kind of, no, not really.
She kept chickens in her condo, your friend?
Yeah, she lived like a corner house. It was pretty secluded and stuff. And
right.
Like a bunch of animals.
Right, right. Yeah. All right, so you ever do that chicken voice when going down on your girlfriend?
No.
No. Try that. Try that tonight.
She likes it, though.
She likes the chicken voice?
Yeah. Cracks her up.
Yeah. Hey, so anyway, Marina, you're a lesbian, so you have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So you just do the best you can. At 20 years old, it's hard to figure out. It's hard to be in relationships with guys, too.
Right.
Definitely.
And pay attention. Just because you're different doesn't mean women are... You know what I mean? It sounds like you're sort of being judgmental a little bit.
Well, you know, it's like I always say, guys are Labradors and women are cows. We know how fussy and temperamental cows can be.
Well, they're a tough breed of dog.
Cow cows?
Yeah.
All right. I got to make a mental note not to pick animals that sound like other animals.
You need to, like you said, not talk. Not that I don't want you to talk, but when you're trying to communicate with some of our callers...
They shouldn't talk.
You shouldn't bother.
All right. All right, so stay in your relationship, and don't chalk everything up to a gender.
Right.
Sarah?
There you go.
Hello?
Hi, Sarah.
What's up there, baby?
Hi, Adam. Hi, Drew.
Hey.
Hey.
I've listened to you for so long.
Thanks.
I can't believe I'm on.
Great.
All right. I queef every time that I have sex.
Mm. Good times?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Is there anything I can do?
How about, I know my sister told me she had a relief valve installed in her navel, so it's like air could escape, but it wouldn't come in that way.
Yeah, I'm not sure we placed the navel. It'd probably be just above the pubic bone.
Well, this is back in the day.
Yeah, or in the perineum somewhere. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hidden there, too. It's nice.
I heard it had to be above the opening of the vagina.
To make the air rise?
Yeah, I just heard it work better that way.
It's under pressure. It's all right.
Okay. All right. Hey, Sarah?
Yes?
Is this with every guy or just this one guy? Or?
Well, there hasn't been very many guys, but yeah.
Always happens.
Two guys, and it's with both guys.
Is he, are these guys vigorous, or is that just the way you're cut out?
I guess it's the way I'm cut out.
Can you change positions and try to alter it?
Yeah, and it hasn't helped.
Ooh. You've tried everything.
Huh? Well, at least I think so. Everything. Even my last resort, I guess.
Did these guys say anything?
Did it bother them?
Actually, no. That's the really good part, but it's kind of like...
Are you surprised guys aren't bothered by that?
Well, yeah. I'm with really nice guys, so I'm not really surprised, but...
Yeah,
nice guys are not. Yeah, the guys would not be bothered by this. This is Adam, give her the thing about the kneecaps
still,
coming
if,
off.
If you, like,
no.
Please.
Farted every time, you know, it would bother you if you did something really...
Well, I mean, listen, I understand it's a distraction, and nobody wants to be... You know, here's the problem with the queef. It takes you out of the moment for a moment.
But the other thing is, she's thinking like a woman, like a man. Yes, a man, if he made a weird noise, would bother a woman. But a woman making a weird noise barely goes noticed by a man.
Well, it's the sound that's created by me banging the bejesus out of you, so it's acceptable.
Not acceptable. It's not like we're sitting. It's music.
It's not like we're sitting in a movie theater and you let something fly. Right.
It's
I'm on top of you.
It's a feedback.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah.
And no, guys are not bothered. Guys could erode their...
It's like your vagina's applauding.
Right.
Do you think I should talk to him about... Because I haven't mentioned it. Do you think...
Talking about... It's obvious. Talking about it will sort of break the tension for you. And I'm sure you'll find this guy is not the least bit troubled by it.
Is it... it's each and every time.
Yeah.
Hmm. And now, Drew, are some people genetically... do they have some sort of predisposition toward the queef? Like, they lubricate too well?
The queef allele? Yes. Queef gene? Yes.
And do they have that?
No.
Well, I mean, what creates the queef? It's it's usually...
Lube, probably collapsing of the vagina, I bet. Some.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this.
I don't know.
I know, but I'm saying that some women, like, people are all cut out a little different. Some people, you know, women, their labia is a little different than the other one. You know, some people's earlobes are attached, others dangle.
Sarah is living proof that it's a predisposition. She tends to do it no matter what.
Yeah.
Various partners. Now, is that size of the labia, or is that a collapsible vagina? Is that lubrication too much, too little? I don't know. Is that angle of the vagina? Yeah.
Also, the shape.
Yeah, if it collapses, it will sort of, you know, whoopee cushion.
That's what causes
it. Yeah.
But also getting air trapped in there.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to do a study on this.
We got to take a break.
You think I can get a study going for this?
During the commercial, sure. Yeah, we could do like, you know those commercials they have with the heat sensors and all that? Yeah.
I could just see him filling out the application. Why, and then pulling me aside, Dr. Carolla, yes? Oh, why the cup size specification on? Don't worry about it. This is science. Yes. All right. I'm gonna get to work on this. We'll be back. Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tia Carrera in here tomorrow night on the cover of Playboy and in Playboy. And oh man, you know what that means?
What's that?
The
Sploozers.
Sploozers.
Oh yeah.
Going to be lying in the parking lot tomorrow with their Playboys getting autographs from Tia tomorrow night. Andy, we got to double down on the security. It's going to be a large contingent of Sploozers. Now, let's see. What was my definition of splooser?
Spaz.
Spaz meets loser.
Yeah.
And I know these guys listen to the show and they get upset at this, but let me just explain the spaz meets loser part. Spaz, meaning the guys are always a little geeky, wearing the bad windbreakers, crappy mustaches. There's more geek than there is sort of hooligan.
Oh, yeah.
In these guys.
Not bad guys.
No, they're not bad guys.
They're sort of nerdy.
They're nerdy. They're sort of nerd, geek, spaz.
Yeah.
Right?
Like the guy owns the comic book store in The Simpsons.
Yeah, they got that going on. They got that going on. And then the loser part is the part where they're 43 years old. They're waiting out front of a crappy radio station for an hour and a half to get Tia Carrera to sign off on a Playboy so they can sell it on eBay for $26. That is kind of the loser part. So, splooser. Spaz meets loser. Now, they're insulted by that title, but I know it does sound bad, but I don't know. I think they should embrace it. I think they ought to get some windbreakers made up or some caps, you know, like Adam's Splooser Patrol or something like that. Someone surprise me tomorrow night, please. Courtney.
Hi.
You're 17.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous right now, but basically I have a younger sister and she's 14 and I knew she had never been really popular and she was running with some new friends. And I knew she was experimenting with some drugs, nothing too serious, but like marijuana, you know. I was looking for something in her room one time and it started out where I found some Polaroids that one of her friends had taken of her nude, doing the things to her body.
Like what?
Well, she was fingering her butt.
in one of the pictures. It was a little shocking.
She's 14?
14 years old. And then later on, I had gotten her, she had left her journal in the restroom in our house, and I shouldn't have read it, but I did. And there was some entries about how she had demonstrated to her boyfriend at the time on how to give head by performing it on her best girlfriend.
Oh, boy.
Wow. And was it her best girlfriend that took the finger in the butt Polaroids?
No, because you could see her boyfriend in the pictures in a couple of them. So
how old is the boyfriend?
The boyfriend is 15. Fantastic. He's only a year older.
Hold on a second. That son of a bitch. 15? Standing around while pictures are being taken with fingers in the ass, and I'm going to demonstrate on my friend how to perform oral on me. You just hang out. Oh, my God. I hate this guy. Courtney?
Yes.
Yeah, so it sounds like your kid's sister's a little out of control.
Well, yeah, my parents had found out about the drugs, and she's now in a rehabilitation-type program.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the hospital first, and then they placed her in this kind of house with a bunch of other teenagers with the same problems.
All right, so I'm sure they're aware that she's getting into all this kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, but I'm still concerned because she gets these visitations where she gets to come home. Like, this past, she came home for about 6 days for Thanksgiving, and my parents still allow her to see these friends. And they don't know what has happened, and I'm not going to, like, walk up to my parents and say, hey,
then,
you know.
Then you got
to
call the staff that's taking care of her at the residential facility.
Well, I wanted to kind of maybe talk about it with her.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to.
Well, wait a minute. Is she's in the facility right now?
It's just a drug facility, though.
I know, but when is she coming home?
They actually told my parents that they're expecting to send her home early December.
Courtney,
she's getting ready to come
out of there. Believe me, they're getting into all this stuff with her in the treatment process. You need to call the staff there and let them know what's going on in the outside, because she's getting involved.
She found some pictures, or has a boyfriend.
There's sexual improprieties, that there's a group of people that she's insisting upon continuing to stay with, that she's not connecting with sober peers. She gets home and gets out with her old peers, and they need to know about this, and they will keep her longer, I suspect, when they hear about this. Your family does not need to be involved with this. There's nothing they can do anyway. The staff is the one that needs to know what's going on here.
All right. Let's talk to Adam, who's 19, who...
needs to turn his radio off.
Turn your radio down. Okay.
Oh, that's all right.
Did they come back? Adam?
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Well... I've been having this problem for a little bit. After I broke up with my ex-girlfriend, I kind of went on a little binge of going out to clubs and meeting larger women. I'm a relatively small guy, and I was just trying to have a, you know, I don't know what to do about it, how to get over it, because I've liked real small girls, but I'm on this binge for really large girls right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I think this is bogus. Because he asks us how to get over it.
Yeah.
Liar, liar, yeah. Whore, liar, whore, you know it.
Sorry.
Honestly.
Yeah?
If you've seen Road Trip, it's kind of like, it's like I'm going off like that
now. Yeah, right.
Why get over it then?
I don't know. It's like...
Why do you want to get over it? You got plenty of fatties out there looking for love. Why don't you just come into those clubs and mop up?
I don't know. I've been taking a lot of bad stuff from my friends on it lately, and
no, I don't buy it, Adam. Why are you calling a radio show asking us to give you advice about how to stop nailing fat chicks?
No, I was just looking for your guys' help. That was
on what? I'm not clear what you're asking for.
I don't know. Never mind.
All right. I didn't buy it.
I did, but I don't know what he was asking. I couldn't quite get it.
Well, that was part of the problem. Yeah. But there's a part, and I always know it's a bogus call when they say, here's what they say. Here's how I always know it's a bogus call, Drew.
Yeah.
They make the statement, and they realize about three-quarters, seven-eighths into the statement that there's no real question there.
Yeah.
So they do this. I broke up with my girlfriend, and ever since then, I've been going to clubs, and I've been sleeping with a lot of fat girls, and I find myself attracted to fat girls, and I want to know if you could help me.
Yeah, Right.
Because they realize in their brain that about 7/8 into it, they're at the end of the question, but it's not a question.
Right. It's been a punchline rather than a question.
So then they tack on that, and I was hoping you guys could help me,
yeah.
Which is really the sort of, it's the backpedaling part of the question.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, if you're into fat chicks, you're into fat chicks. And if you're not, you're not. If you, and when it's over, it'll be over. What are you asking us?
I didn't get the question. There you go.
You want to figure out a way to stop being with fat chicks. Well, His friends were making fun of him.
Kind of suggested he was sexually compulsive, but whatever.
Why? Because he's with fat chicks?
No, he couldn't stop. He was on a binge of sex, and it just happened to be with that certain type.
Okay, we got to take a break, but let me just say this. If anybody is doing anything they think they should stop go ahead and stop. You know, it may not sound like a problem to other people, but if you feel like it's a problem and you want to stop, unless it's beating off, stop. Buddy. Well, that's it. That's the show. Tia Carrera in here tomorrow night. Cover Playboy and
it's Bluesers.
Very, very hot. Very hot. Be interested in seeing her again. I think she did it. I haven't talked to her since the TV show.
No, I think she was up here once more.
Oh, maybe she was. Yeah. You're right. All right. Anyway, hot. Looking forward to her. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Well, that was pretty good. Do it again.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.